We're in Ephesians chapter 3. A sermon that's kind of been formulating and percolating and in process over several weeks, I think, and I'm still not sure I've got it right. I want to encourage you this morning to use your imagination. Use your imagination. Have you ever had a need that you thought was too big to be met? Have you ever had a prayer request that you thought was too big or impossible for God to meet? Have you ever had one of those prayers where you thought, well, this is just so outrageous and so outlandish, I'm embarrassed and afraid to even bring it before God. And I'm certainly never going to tell anyone else that I'm praying for something like this because they just laugh at me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Paul prays for some really big, some seemingly impossible things for the church in Ephesus. And in order to understand, I want us to understand the key verse, and really what we're looking at today is those last couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. We're going to go back to 14 and work our way down, but here's what I want us to think about. Here's where I want our focus to be this morning. In verse 20, Paul writes this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God, would you just help us today and use this word for your glory? In Jesus' name. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Why does Paul write that? He writes that because of what he has just written in the verses previous to that. I want us to look, before we kind of get into the actual sermon outline this morning, I want us to take some time to look at this prayer that Paul is praying for the church. And when we think about this morning, I'm going to ask you just to use your imagination, and I want you to think about this as if the Apostle Paul were here today and he were speaking to us and he were praying this prayer over our church this morning. Here's what he says. Verse 14. "For this reason," what is the reason? What's he doing? If you go back earlier into Ephesians chapter 2 and even earlier in the book, you'll see Paul starts a thought and then kind of gets sidetracked. You know how preachers do that? He starts a thought and kind of gets sidetracked. What Paul is really getting at in this little letter to the church in Ephesus is the importance of being united in Jesus Christ, the importance of unity in the church, not division, not separation. He's talking about the importance of unity. And earlier in the chapter, he kind of gets sidetracked, but then he comes back to it and he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." The Let's think about what Paul said there for a few minutes. We're imagining that he's talking to us this morning. What's the first thing Paul prays for this church? That God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. What is the inner being? What does that include? Well, in the world of the Greeks, the inner being talked about three things, three aspects of life. The first one was this. It dealt with human reason. Human reason, the ability of the human mind and the human heart to reason through things. And Paul is saying here, I want God to strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And the first part of that inner being is human reason. What's he talking about? Paul is praying for better discernment for these Christians so that they can know better what is right and wrong. He's asking God to give them the wisdom they need to keep their lives pure and to keep from falling into sin and to keep from being entrapped in those things that would break our fellowship and harm our relationship with God and with one another. Because when our relationship with God isn't right, our relationship with other people isn't right. It can't be. Not in the body of Christ. Remember, he's talking about the importance of unity and staying away from division. Let me just tell you this. Anytime, I'm not talking about disagreement. We can have disagreement in the church. I preached about this several months ago, not long after I moved here, actually. We can have disagreement in the church. We're not always going to agree on everything. But how do we handle that? If we allow that disagreement to come to a point of division and dissension, there is sin somewhere. There's no avoiding it. There's sin somewhere. The goal is for the body of Christ to be united. Paul is praying that in our hearts and minds we might be able to better discern between what is right and wrong. And I would say it even goes further than that. I had years and years ago, when I first got into Bible college, I had a professor that made this statement. He said, you know, for so long, if we're not careful, we get caught up into that trap in our Christian lives of living a performance-based life. We get so caught up in everything, we never get beyond what's right and wrong. We need to understand what right is, and we need to understand what wrong is. We need to understand what righteousness is, and we need to understand what sin is, but we need to get beyond that point. He said, you know what? If we always focus on what's right and wrong, we never get to the discernment between what's good and what's better. What's better and what's best. The reasoning ability that we have is that part of our mind and that part of our heart that helps us to kind of think through things and figure out what's right and wrong and what's going to be most pleasing to God in each and every situation. So the inner being also talks about then the human conscience. The human conscience. Paul is praying here that God would keep their conscience sensitive and alert. If we're praying for discernment to know better between what's right and wrong, then we have to have the conscience that is sensitive enough to tell us and to let us know when something's wrong in our life so that we can do our best to make it right with God. There's a conscience there, and Paul is praying about that. And then the third aspect of the inner being in the Greek mind would be the human will. Praying for the will to act on and carry out what we know is right. If you were here last Sunday when I was preaching about what it means to be free from sin and Paul, the battle that Paul describes in Romans chapter 7, the good I want to do, I can't do. The bad that I don't want to do, I keep on doing because there are two spirits at war within me. It's one thing to know what's right and wrong, but we have to have the willpower to act on what we know is right and wrong. I know taking part in this activity might not be the best thing for me, but it's easier than fighting everybody. It's just easier to go along. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me, church. Christianity is not about taking the path of least resistance. We have to have the willpower to stand up for what we know is right and stand against what we know is wrong and live that out in our lives. That's what Paul is praying here. He says, I pray that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Once again, there it is. Through his Spirit in your inner being. None of what we're going to talk about today is possible without the indwelling power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. That's the key. So the first part of his prayer, he says, I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Discernment for what's right and wrong. A sensitive conscience to be alert to that. And then the willpower to act on and carry out what we know is right. And the secret to that, as I said, is the power of the Spirit. Christ living in us. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, Paul says. This is all hopeless if we don't have Christ living within us. If we're just going through the motions, if we're just playing the game, and we don't have a true relationship and an indwelling presence of Christ, we can't do any of this. We're lost. The second thing he prays for is this. He prays that we might be able to grasp the extent of God's love. He prays that we might be able to grasp and understand the extent of God's love. Let me just ask you a question. Is that possible? Is that even possible in the human sense? We look at the Bible and we read the Bible and we talk about all the things. We see all the scriptures that talk about the love of God. There are other scriptures that tell us, you know what, we can't really ever fully understand it. But Paul is praying that we might be able to grasp and comprehend the extent of God's love. Is that even possible? Here's my next question. Why would Paul pray it if he didn't think it was possible? He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Let's look at those four aspects that describe God's love. John Wesley says this in reference to the scripture. When we talk about the width of God's love, we mean that his love embraces all of mankind. Brothers and sisters, listen to me this morning. No matter how evil the actions of some people are, no matter how far outside of God's grace and love these people may seem to be, no matter how lost and misdirected people may seem to be, no matter how strongly we disagree with them on certain issues or beliefs or whatever, we need to understand that God's love reaches them just the way it reached us. John 3:16 says, God loved the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So Wesley says that the width of God's love demonstrates it. It embraces all of mankind. The length of God's love tells us that it is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no beginning, there is no end. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. It'll never run out. We have a well that provides water to the church parsonage where we live. Now, I pray that well never runs out, but I've lived on a farm. I've gone out to water cattle and hogs and chickens and different things, and I've dropped a bucket in the well before, and the well didn't have anything in it. It'd run dry. It'd run out of water. But God's love is like that never-ending well, that never-ending supply of water. There's no end to it. There's no beginning. I want you to understand how wide and long and high. What does the height of God's love represent? Wesley says this, the height of God's love represents that it cannot be reached by any enemy. It can't be reached by any enemy. And the depth of his love tells us that it cannot be fathomed by any creature. I don't know. I don't know much about oceans and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what the very deepest part of the ocean in existence is. I don't know to what depth the water goes in some of those places, but here's what I know. It can never be as deep as the love of God. Is it possible? Is it possible to comprehend and truly grasp the love of God? That's what Paul prays for. That the church in Ephesus, the church in Shipshuana, may understand and grasp the extent of God's love. He goes on to pray this, and it just keeps getting harder and harder in my book, in my mind. What's he say next? I pray that we may be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. That we can experience all the measure of the fullness of God. Now, we're not talking about becoming deity. We're not talking about becoming God. But one of the commentators I read leading up to this had an interesting analogy and illustration to go with this. He said this, if I take a thimble, I'm using words some of you might not, most of you in here will understand what a thimble is if you've done any sewing. We used to play hide the thimble at my grandma and granddad's house. He says, if I take a thimble and I dip it into the Atlantic Ocean and I pull it out and that thimble is full of water from the Atlantic Ocean, it does not contain all the water of the ocean, but it does contain all the molecules and it contains all the things that make up the water in the ocean just in that little bit. And really what Paul is saying here is that he's praying that we would be able to understand and grasp and experience being filled to overflowing with the presence of God. John Wesley says it means to be filled with all his light, all of his love, all of his wisdom, all of his holiness, all of his power, and all of his glory. Daniel Steele says this, I attain my maximum power and answer the end of my creation only when I am to my utmost capacity filled with God by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And finally, Adam Clark says this, to be filled with all the fullness of God is to have the whole soul filled with meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth. Once again, I ask, is this kind of experience? Is this kind of relationship? Is this kind of presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives really possible? It may seem impossible. But if it's impossible, then why would Paul pray for something that could never be done? He gives us the answer in verse 14. Or in verse 20, sorry. Now we're back to verse 20. I want us to think about this. God is able. I want to break this verse down a little bit. God is able. If we're going to be, if we're going to be successful in any kind of relationship with God, if we're going to be as close to Christ as we possibly can, if we're going to see anything good done in and through our lives and come out of our lives from the Christian standpoint, we have to believe and we have to know that God is able. We cannot question the ability of God to do something. I used to sit around, you know what, we thought it was funny in our days of at Mid-America when we'd sit around with all the religion majors, you know, and we'd have these private, well, not so much private, but we'd get together in our dorm room and we'd sit and talk. And we'd come up with all these questions that we thought were so lofty. Is it possible for God to create a rock so big he can't pick it up and move it? You know, we thought that was something brilliant. Now I look back and I think it's just silly. Because it didn't really matter. It's not even a really legitimate question. We cannot question the ability of God to do something in our lives if we want to have a fulfilled relationship with him. And then, not only does it say God is able, but he goes on to say that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What does immeasurably mean? It means just there's no way to measure. There is no way to ever... I can't take a measuring cup out and fill it up and say, oh, okay, that's the extent of God's ability because the cup is full. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Paul has prayed and asked for some very, very deep, improbable things in his prayer for the church. But then he comes back with this proclamation and this promise that I can pray all these things because I know that my God is able to not only accomplish this, but to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or think or imagine. I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to, I just want you to, however you get there, get to your imaginary world. Let me ask you this question. What is the biggest thing in your life that you could ever imagine asking God to do? What is the biggest need in your life that you could ever even imagine praying to God to take care of? What's the most difficult thing? Is there something in your life that you would just look at it and say, that'll never happen, that it's impossible, that person will never be saved, this person will never become a Christian, I'll never be able to overcome whatever this situation is in my life, I'll never be able to be set free from this sin because it's just too big? Can you imagine with me? I've been asking the church board about this for the last two board meetings. And it's time to let you in. It's time to ask all of you the same question. What can you imagine God doing in our church? If I were to come to each and every one of you individually and say, Lori, what is it that you would love to see God do in this church more than anything else? Ken, what is it that you would love to see God do in this church more than anything else? Stephen, what could we do? What would God do? If we could do anything, if we could just say, God, I want you to do this, what would it be? If we could close our eyes and come up with some dream, with some vision, or just use your imagination, what is it? I'm not talking about for our own glory. I'm not talking about so that we can go out and say, look what we've accomplished as a church. I'm asking, what can you imagine God being able to do in and through us here in Shipshewana Church of the Nazarene? Do you have it in mind? Maybe there's something you've been thinking about for years. Oh, I'd love to see our church be able to do this. Maybe there's a new idea that's just come to you. I'd love to see our church be able to do this. Have we ever prayed about it? Or have we thought just right off the bat, but that'll never happen, and we just don't even think about it anymore? I want us to apply this scripture today and claim the promise that our God is able to do immeasurably more. See, that's the scary part. That's the exciting part. Because whatever the biggest thing is that we can imagine, whatever the biggest thing is that we can dream, God is able to not only do that and accomplish that, but he's able to accomplish immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or think or even imagine. So what's holding us back? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Well, if I go talk to Pastor about that, he's going to laugh at me. No, Pastor won't laugh at you. I'll say, let's start praying about it. What's holding us back? Maybe it's this. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I've asked you, what can you imagine God doing? Now I'm going to ask you this question. Are we to a point where we're willing to take the risk of asking God to empower us in our inner being so that we can see those things accomplished? Are we willing to take the risk of saying, God, I surrender myself to you completely, and I want you to do in and through me whatever you want to do. I give you permission. I surrender myself. I offer myself. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. Make me holy and acceptable in your sight. I give myself completely to you. Empower me. To be able to accomplish for your glory what you've placed in my imagination. See, God's power and God's ability is not limited by God himself. God's power or God's ability is limited by each and every one of us. And you say, how do you know that? Well, think about when Jesus went back to his hometown and his home region. He was not able to perform very many miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith and their belief, their lack of belief. I've struggled with this because I just didn't really know where it was going to go, and I still don't know where it's going to go. But here's what I think we need to do. I want to hear you. I want to hear us say together this verse. God is able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within me. Can we say that? God is able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within me. Now let's say it like we mean it. God is able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within me. Now I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Because I want us to stop and pray about this. And if there's something that God speaks to you about during this prayer and you feel like you need to come to the altar and pray, I'm serious, ladies and gentlemen. There is no limit. There is no limit to what God can do if we'll allow him. Father, today, we thank you for this promise. I thank you for this promise that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or think or even imagine. But it's done according to your power that's in at work within us. So, Father, today I'm praying that you would empower us. I pray and I ask, Father, that you would empower us. To look beyond our own ability. So many times, Father, we feel defeated if we see something in front of us that's so big that we can't handle it on our own. I'm praying, Father, that you would empower us to look beyond our own ability. I ask that you would empower us to set aside fear, to set aside doubt, to set aside the discouragement that might keep us from accomplishing what you want us to do. I'm praying, Father, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would empower us to break through barriers that we have placed in the way of the work that you want to do. I'm praying and asking you to empower us to break down strongholds of the enemy. I'm praying and asking you to empower us to love people the way you love us and the way we love ourselves, no matter what their background, no matter what's going on in their lives. I'm praying, Father, that you would empower us and set us free to be the people that you want us to be. I pray that you would empower us to believe with all of our heart that you're able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Empower us to forgive those who need to be forgiven. Empower us to put the past disappointments and failures behind us and look forward to the future. Lord, help us today to become so sold out to you, so dead to ourselves, and there will be no hindrance of your Spirit working through us and in us. And God, give us a vision. The imagination to see and experience and be a part of what you want to do in and through this church. Because we believe the promise that you're able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to your power at work within us. So God, I give you freedom today to work through me. Lord, I pray that the people here in this place would make a decision right here and now that we want to be empowered by the presence of your Spirit at work within us. so that through us you can accomplish what you desire to do. Maybe there's someone here this morning who would like to come and say, I want God's power at work within me. I don't want anything holding me back from being that vessel and instrument that God can use. Lord, search our hearts. Help us to be willing to be used of you. He is able. Can we sing that? Would you stand with me as we get ready to be dismissed? I want to sing this song one more time as we close our service. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Brother Joe Walter, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning, please?